This is Marketplace. I'm Kai Rizdahl. I think it's fair to say that the business model for news in this economy is challenged in this digital age. Low barriers to entry, private equity firms snapping up and stripping down local newspapers. You know the stories. They're 10 or 20 years old by now. Less familiar, because it's newer, is a company called Substack, built on the premise that readers and writers are better served by a direct-to-consumer paid subscription newsletter model. Substack has lured some big names, and it hit 1 million paid subscribers last month. Chris Best is the co-founder, also the CEO. Welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me.
I've got like an embarrassing number of not just newsletters, but unopened and unread newsletters in my inbox. And I need you to help me understand why we need more in this world.
Don't be embarrassed. That's a totally normal, okay. Totally normal state of affairs. The problem that people have today is not, I don't have enough things to read. It's that I have limited time to spend on all the things that I care about. How can I allocate my attention better? Having a direct relationship with writers who you trust is a way to do that. It's asking someone to curate some of your time.
What is your company's job in curating those writers, though, right? Because there have been some criticisms of Substack about, you know, letting whoever wants to say whatever they want to do. And I don't want to get into the whole slippery slope of First Amendment and moderation and the problems that Facebook and Twitter are having. But what is your job in that trust framework?
So we see our job and the fundamental benefit of our platform as putting writers and readers in charge. So whereas, you know, if you go to your Twitter feed or your Facebook feed or your various sort of attention monster social apps, they're trying to like decide for you what to see. Whereas the whole idea of Substack is returning power to writers and readers. And so we take a very strong stance kind of in favor of freedom of the press and letting writers and readers decide for themselves how to set up those relationships.
Those writers, though, have to, and look, the big name writers on Substack, you find that they're doing really well dollar-wise, but they also have to be their own marketing department and their own finance team, and they have to work on other things besides, writing, you know?
Yeah, this was actually one of the, our goal with Substack is, as a writer, we can tell you, we'll do everything for you except the hard part. We kind of want to make a platform that makes the rest of that stuff as easy as possible and kind of vanish into the background, which doesn't mean that you don't have to, you know, you don't have to do marketing or any of these things, but we kind of want to make that on autopilot as much as possible.
About that vanish into the background thing, Substack, the company, you know, pops up in the news every now and then for whatever it is. And I wonder how you feel about your company being part of the story, setting aside the free publicity thing, but your company being part of the story as opposed to the writers and what they're doing.
You know, we always try to put the writers at the center of the story because we think the writers are the hero of the story. At the same time, you know, if there's, to the extent that there's blame, we're willing to take some of the blame sometimes, right? We made Substack knowing that we were running towards the fire on a bunch of problems. And so we accept if people have opinions about Substack.
You're not a media guy, right? You're a tech guy. How did this happen that you're running what is fundamentally a media company now?
I'm not sure I would categorize Substack as a media company.
Really?
I think
say more about that, because that's really interesting.
I'd say we're almost the thing that's enabling 1 million media companies to bloom. Like the benefit of Substack is every writer has essentially their own media company. They're their own independent thing. They own their audience. They own their work. The way that I got here is I've always believed that what you read matters. It shapes how you think. It shapes how you see the world. And so great writing is inherently valuable. And I've always been kind of a tech and product nerd. I love building things. But I was trying to write an essay about this thing. So I was like, writing's valuable. I should write. And I sent it to my friend Hamish, who is a writer himself. And it was in my conversation with him that the idea for Substack and kind of the ethos of it was born. And I think you need the fusion of both of those things to make something like Substack.
Writing, as I'm sure you've discovered, is hard. But look, on that great writing is valuable thing, what is your company's role in ensuring that the writing on Substack is valuable? You know what I mean?
The way that we think of this is that our job for readers is not to go to them and say, hey, here's the kind of stuff you should be reading. Right? Our job is not to go to you and say, hey, you need to eat your vegetables. we're going to give you the tools to make this decision for yourself in the best way possible. And if people choose to read things that aren't the things that we would choose for them to read, I'm actually okay with that. I think that's good.
All right. So I started with my inbox confession. How many emails, newsletters do you have sitting in your inbox?
I'm an inbox zero type, so no. I clear them out. I can't read them all.
Oh, well, all right. Well, we can all just delete, man. Come on. That's not.
Well, you got to get off the phone. Like, don't just leave it there. Don't tell yourself you're going to go back to it.
That's right. That's fair. You are absolutely not. Chris Best, co-founder, also the CEO of Substack. Chris, thanks a lot. I appreciate your time.
Thank you.